G'day, Darren. Nice to be on.
So are we really being ripped off that much?
Well, I would say Cameron Dick, the treasurer in Queensland, has really shown some political courage, because we know the coal industry is very vocal and very effective at lobbying to make sure they get all of the upside. But at the end of the day, Queensland's budget back in June introduced a six-tier progressive royalty that means only, and I'll stress that, only at times of unprecedentedly high coal prices will the Queensland people now share a significant portion of the windfall gains being booked by the mining industry. In New South Wales, we unfortunately have a very flat royalty system. It's 7.2% for open cut mining, 8.2% for open cut, 7.2% for underground mining, and that is flat regardless of whether the price is $50 or $400 a tonne, which is where it is today.
So not only are we at that $400 a tonne is a record price, but from my observations and talking to some coal market analysts, that's only going to keep going up, because we've just had that ban put on a Russian coal. So therefore, everyone in Europe's looking for coal sources, and that's going to mean there's still the demand, but less coal available. So the price is going to keep going up even more.
Darren, no, that's right. I mean, no one knows where commodity prices are going to go over a five-year view or a 10-year view. But yes, just overnight, we saw European electricity prices hit an absolutely unprecedented 500 euros a megawatt hour. That's up literally tenfold in the space of the last 2 to 3 years. And it does center, exactly as you said, Putin has played enormous games in restricting supply of gas, oil, and even coal into Europe over the last year. And the sanctions against Putin and against Russia because of the Ukraine war have only made that even more problematic. Australia is the third largest exporter of fossil fuels in the world, behind Russia and behind Saudi Arabia. We are literally the second biggest beneficiary of these huge windfall gains. They are once in a generation. Maybe they'll last for 2 or 3 years. Who knows the amount of demand destruction that will result. I mean, at the end of the day, countries can't afford to fund prices of these sort of levels. So they will build alternatives, but that will take them years. So, yes, we could be looking at windfall gains for the fossil fuel export industry for the next couple of years. And unfortunately, we Australians now have export price parity on all of our East Coast gas, which means our electricity prices are skyrocketing almost as fast as they are in Europe. So at the end of the day, we all bear the pain in the form of higher domestic energy prices. And I think it's appropriate that some of the windfall gains being made by the fossil fuel industry be shared with us, ironically, the owners of those public assets they're using for private gain.
My guest is Tim Buckley, the leading energy analyst from Climate Energy Finance. If the Queensland Treasury is crowing loudly about how much more money they're getting from the industry, what are they actually spending it on up there?
Well, at the moment, we are in the absolutely, and we are talking unprecedented times. I mean, it was only a couple of months ago, the LNG price, the liquid natural gas price, hit a all-time record high of $40 a petajoule up in Asia. That's literally risen tenfold in 2 years. The other unprecedented change is that thermal coal, which is what, by and large, the New South Wales state exports, so 70% by volume of New South Wales coal exports are thermal coal for power generation. In Queensland, they're the mirror image. Coking coal is 70% of the volume of coal exports for steel production. Now, because China's steel industry has just hit a brick wall in the last couple of months, the iron ore price and the coking coal price has dropped by 50% in recent months, whereas the thermal coal price is now trading at a 30%, 40% premium to the coking coal. We've never seen that before. So $400 a tonne, 560 Aussie dollars a tonne for thermal coal. New South Wales has even more opportunity than Queensland, ironically. But to your question, Cameron Dick in the in his budget response highlighted that he was able to fund four new or dramatically expanded regional hospitals across Queensland with just some of the windfalls. But what he did do is also keep a lot of those windfalls in reserve. He actually only assumed royalties in Queensland of in the order of $5 billion this year. I estimate they could get $15 billion at current prices. So he might have another $10 billion up his sleeve to actually help those regional communities most affected by the energy transition. And I would so love it if Matt Keane had the political courage and the political support from his National Party brethren to actually do the same in New South Wales and actually put aside this windfall gain into a fund, a transition fund, put it aside, reserve it. Maybe even half the windfall gains would see a $10 billion windfall set aside for New South Wales regional transition.
Here in the Upper Hunter, we get some money through a couple of government funds that they've set up to, you know, put money back into the coal mining towns. But, you know, they're piddling amounts when you compare to how much revenue and taxes they take from the coal mining industry. Would you be confident if they followed Queensland lead that places like Bussabrook, Singleton and Scone would actually end up even getting any more cash?
Well, I think that's actually it's a really good point. We need to hold the politicians to account. Let's hold them to that and let's actually make them pledge to put the money aside so that when the coal industry invariably comes up in arms and screams sovereign risk, as I'm sure three or four CEOs will do, they won't worry about the fact 8 million of us wear the cost and they'll be banking, I don't know, $5 or $10 million bonuses this year individually for all of their windfall gains that they're making with no extra effort. So I think you're right. We would want the politicians to actually put the money aside, put it in trust, be explicit. This is going to be a windfall short-term gain. Let's put it aside. The public infrastructure that underwrites the community, that underwrites the facilities, the roads, the grid, the water, all of that needs to be invested in. All of that's borne by the public. I mean, let's talk about the coal industry again. The coal industry is critically reliant on the railway track all the way down from Muswellbrook down to Newcastle. It was Australian taxpayers who fund the railway network. The AARTC is a public-owned entity. It subsidises the railway network for the coal industry. The Port of Newcastle was built with taxpayer money. It's now been privatised. But at the end of the day, all of that infrastructure was built by our forebearers, by our taxpayers. We need to see the same sort of investment in infrastructure. And when I talk about $100 billion of investor expressions of interest in just the Hunter Valley Renewable Energy Zone that Matt Keane announced back in February.
Tim, thanks very much for joining us on Hunter Valley today.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Darren.
That's Tim Buckley, a leading energy analyst and report author from the Climate Energy Finance Organisation on Hunter Valley today on 981 2NM.